Genesis 15. We're going to do a little bit of review of what we covered last week, and then we're going to move forward and see where we go from here. We're going to kind of go into some stuff that's a little bit, I don't want to say deep, it's just a little different and more detailed in the truth and things of this nature. And so Genesis 15, this is an account with Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 5. And he, the Lord, brought him, Abram, forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So I see this account between Abram and the Lord, and apparently it's night, because he says, tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. So the whole thing is about, see if you can count this. I mean, basically that's what it is. And so the Lord says to him, that's how your seed will be, in numeric numbers. It's not positional, it's in numbers. And so Abram at that time believed the Lord. He was very up in age at that time. And it says in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abram, for righteousness. So it was based upon the righteousness that he received, Abram, was based upon him believing the Lord, knowing full well that Abram was up in age, Sarah was past the age of conceiving ability and things of this nature, but so he believed the Lord over something that was physically impossible is what it amounted to. And so the end result is he counted it unto him for righteousness. Now, look in Galatians. Turn over to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 3. And Paul then goes to Galatians here and or writes in Galatians here, and he goes to this account we just read in Genesis 15. Now in Galatians 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what Paul is telling these Galatians is Abraham, by the time Paul writes about him, he's Abraham, believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. The reason why Paul is writing this is because the Galatians had attained righteousness through the gospel. However, there were those that came behind Paul and said, you need to be circumcised or you need to keep the law to be saved. So Paul is using examples here, all the while being instructed by the Holy Ghost to write what he writes. And that's why I said, when you read Paul's epistles and he goes back and he talks about any historical individual, whether it's a prophet or a judge or any of those, if he goes back in that time and brings them up, then the Spirit of God is using him to bring them up. You don't have a right then to go back as an individual. You don't have a right to go back in the Old Testament and read something and you draw the conclusion that it applies here. If you go back and read something and it applies here, it's because Paul told you it applies here. And that's what verse 6 in Galatians 3 is about. What took place in Genesis 15, verse 6, where Abram believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness, it was applicable to what Paul's ministry was all about. What is that? Believing in the Lord and being made righteous. Because Paul is combating those that were telling his Galatians, you must need be circumcised, you've got to keep the law to be saved. So that's his battle with the Galatians and those that came in after him. So, here you have that Genesis 15, promise to Abram, he was made righteous. Now look at something that's interesting. Look in Galatians chapter 3, but go over to verse 17. So what we have is we have Genesis 15, where Abram was righteous, and then Paul writes about another period of time in verse 17. Galatians 3, verse 17. He says, "In this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." So, you go 450 years later, what came about? The law. The law came about. And what Paul is telling these Galatians is, look, Abram was made righteous by believing in the Lord. Now, when the law came, here's the question I want to pose to you. When Moses got the law and the law was brought forth 450 years later, did it make the righteousness of Abraham of none effect? Did it disannul Abraham's righteousness? No, it didn't. Because there's a problem there at Galatians. This is why he's addressing this. Look in chapter 6 of Galatians. Galatians 6, verse 11. "You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Let's take the body of Christ, and we're going to need this for several things. Let's take an individual that is circumcised, hears the gospel, and believe. They are put into the body. Did circumcision help them get into the body? Let's take another individual that's not circumcised, that hears the gospel and believes. They're put into the body. Did uncircumcision help them get into the body? All right. Well, let's reread verse 15. "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Therefore, if an individual who is uncircumcised is in the body, then it would not profit that individual to be circumcised." Right? Would not profit them. So then, what he is doing is sort of stomping out the fire at Galatia, because there were those that were not circumcised there that were saved. How do I know? Verse 12. Go back to verse 12. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised." They constrained. So were there people at Galatia that were not circumcised? Absolutely. But they were saved and part of the body of Christ. So Paul says, I don't know why you're doing this to my people, because whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, it doesn't avail anything. Nothing. It doesn't avail. Matter of fact, these people are made righteous through Jesus Christ by faith. "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Did Abram need this law to make him righteous before God? No. You didn't need the law for righteousness to have its place in the world. You didn't need it. In this time of the body of Christ, you don't need the law to be made righteous. So then, they were being corrupted by the tradition of their fathers, teaching circumcision and keeping the law. And Paul is addressing that hot button issue here with the Galatians, because they had been deceived and turned away from the truth of the gospel. Now, take a little turn here and go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 2. I am not convinced that every Jew at that time was circumcised. That shouldn't be shocking, because after Moses' death, Joshua took over the children of Israel as their leader, as their prophet, and when they went into the land of Canaan, the first thing he had done there was have them circumcised. So even under the leadership of Moses, they were so rebellious, there was a generation there that was not circumcised. It would not shock me at all if you had Jews that have forsaken the law and were not circumcised. I think the ones circumcised were the more orthodox, traditionalists, committed to the law of Moses. Now, I'm going to use an example in just a minute. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is ahead of all principality and power, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, let's sort of reread some of the verses here. One verse in particular is verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, very elementary, and I don't mean to be condescending to you guys, you have one of two things. You have either circumcision or uncircumcision. It's one of the two. He either is or he ain't. Well, he's addressing these Colossians, and what is he addressing them? He's addressing them about a circumcision that took place, and it is a circumcision made without hands. Now, Genesis 15, righteousness. Genesis 17, Abram, called by God, who was Abraham, was called forth and given the covenant of circumcision to him and his seed after him. It was a covenant between God and Abraham and his seed after him, the practice of circumcision. Paul is writing here, talking about a circumcision made without hands. All circumcision from Genesis 17, the giving of it to Abraham, also reiterated and written in the law by Moses that the children should be circumcised, the children of Israel, carried forth, and all of the circumcision done was by hand. All of it. Paul then apparently is writing about another circumcision that's different. It's got to be. Why? Because they were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So there's no hands involved in your circumcision. What is it? In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So over here, he's addressing this circumcision in Genesis and in the law. It concerns the foreskin of the male. So you circumcise the male on the eighth day, the foreskin, and it is a token, a sign between God and his people. Paul over here talks about a circumcision where no hands are involved, but he is not talking about the foreskin of the male. He is talking about the body of the sins of the flesh. That is, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That is your body that he is talking about. It is the flesh of your body that he's talking about. And he's talking about you being circumcised from the body of the sins of the flesh. And it took place based upon verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Well, folks, you can reflect back to Genesis chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, and see that we, by the Spirit, have been baptized into death of Christ. We died with him. Paul said he was crucified with Christ. We were buried with him, and by the Spirit, we were quickened with him and made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, what I find, based upon verse 12, is that obviously the circumcision of the body of the sins of the flesh was taken care of by the Spirit of God, in that it took all of us, baptized us into the body of Christ, we were buried with Him, and risen with Him. So then we have been separated from our body of the sins of our flesh in Christ Jesus. So consequently, the wages of sin is death. That was carried out by the Spirit in us when we died with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christ was risen, He was made a quickening spirit. So there's no flesh there, is there? Absolutely not. There is no flesh. So then I know the circumcision there has to do with the body of the sins of the flesh. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And don't let anybody that thinks they know what they're talking about convince you that in verse 13, the uncircumcision of your flesh has to do with this in Genesis 17. It is not pertaining to the covenant that God made with Abraham. It is not pertaining to the male child and the foreskin of the male child. The uncircumcision of your flesh is not the body of Christ, but your body. Your physical, sinful, trespassing body. Your body. The uncircumcision. In other words, you have your flesh attached to you. But what happened? By faith in Christ, you by the Spirit were baptized into Christ's death, into His burial, were quickened with Him, and circumcised with the circumcision not made with hands, which really goes pretty well with 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And those of you that have been here for a little bit might recall an earlier in the year series that I did on this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9, but as it's written, I have not seen nor ye heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Through Paul, by the way. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, I can tell you one of the deep things there is the gospel itself. Because that was a mystery. How would anybody know it had the Spirit of God not revealed it to the Apostle Paul? That's a deep thing of God. Don't write off the simplicity of the gospel as not being something deep. That was a mastermind plan of God Almighty. And when you see the fullness of it, you can really appreciate how deep thought God went into this thing, particularly when you're talking about the circumcision that we're talking about in Colossians chapter 2. So, what am I saying? God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. So, let's flash back. Go to Genesis 17, and we know in Genesis 17, the covenant of circumcision was given to Abraham under the law. It was reiterated by Moses in the law. So from that point on of Genesis 17, all the way through time up to the Apostle Paul, the circumcision that existed was done by hands, and it was the foreskin. It's not till Paul reveals that there's a circumcision not made by hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision by Christ. And so there's a circumcision here. Who could have ever come up with the idea? Who could have ever dreamt it? Who could have ever thought it in his heart, meditated upon it, that God would work a way out to destroy the flesh but save the individual? How could anybody come up with the idea of a circumcision of your physical body and you still live? I have not seen, ear heard, neither entered the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us. Nobody in all this time knew about the circumcision that Paul revealed in Colossians chapter 2. And let me tell you this. This thing in Colossians 2 is not them going, I want to live for Jesus, so I'm just going to cut myself loose from the ways of this world. Really? Seriously? Come on now. Get real. Feet back down on the ground. No, it took place. It was a circumcision that took place. Now, it's interesting to note something. Before Acts 9, there was a man named Saul causing great harm to the believers. He was a persecutor, injurious, and a blasphemer. Let's look at something about him. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Now, folks, you got to stay tuned on this. If you miss this, you're going to miss it. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Let me ask you something. Was Paul circumcised the eighth day?
Yes.
Right down the line with the law. Right down the covenant given to Abram, right under the command of the law. He did it properly, exactly how it ought to be done, right? Absolutely. Let me ask you something. Before he was saved, let's go ahead, because we have this privilege of being over here somewhere. The book is completed. So we have the privilege of looking back, right? We have our rearview mirrors now, okay? We can look back in time because the Word of God is complete. All right? In the time of the dispensation of grace, started with Paul, going to end somewhere in the future. In that time frame, how many of the people that are born into this world are born in the uncircumcision of their flesh, according to Colossians 2? Everyone. Everybody is born in this world with the uncircumcision of their flesh. Paul was circumcised the eighth day. So when the Lord appeared to him in Acts chapter 9, he appeared to a circumcised Jew, right? Philippians chapter 3, you just read it. What did Paul's circumcision avail him before the Lord? Oh, you got it. You got it. We're right there, man. Hang in there. There was one problem. He was uncircumcised in the body of his flesh and the sins thereof. And everybody else in the world was too, whether they were Jew or Gentile. Everybody. The entirety of the world. Now, we're on the same page so far. So let's turn a page. Go back to Galatians. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Remember, Galatians, Paul's dealing with the hot button issue. He's even dealing with some other characters at a high profile. Peter, James, and John. So they had this great meeting space. And oh, by the way, Paul got saved in Acts 9, rode to Damascus. And where we're reading, I don't know how far to go down this line because it's not a calendar what I have drawn up here. So I don't know how long to draw the line, but all I can tell you is this. Where we're going to read, it's 14 years or so after his conversion. Pretty good span there, right? So he's been out there preaching all that time. So now they're having their meeting. So we're going to jump right into it. Verse 7, Galatians 2:7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostle of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, if you go into Acts, after they had this meeting, Peter went nowhere. Matter of fact, after this meeting, Peter, for the most part, he's gone in the book of Acts. He's gone. So here they come to a meeting, and they shook hands, and it was Peter and them to go to the circumcision. However, they went nowhere. They're at Jerusalem, and they're just there. Paul, however, shakes hands after 14 years in the ministry, shakes hands, and agrees to what? Go to the heathen. Now, Paul said in the previous verse, verse 7, but contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now listen, I hear this all the time. I've heard it being preached before. I see it on all, whoever has a Bible study online, Facebook, and all this. They quote verse 7, and they explain it. And without fail, they say, you see, the gospel that Paul has was to the Gentiles, and the gospel that Peter has was to the Jews. That is not what verse 7 says. Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision. It doesn't say Paul had the gospel to the uncircumcision. Boy, you're just picking on words. They mean the same. Of and to is not the same thing. I can go to the house tonight, call Mike, and talk to Mike of Donald. But I ain't talking to Donald, and vice versa. I can do that with anybody here. I can talk to you of another person, but I'm not talking to that person. Of and to are two different words. Of, preposition. It's concerning, pertaining to. It's the good news concerning or pertaining to the uncircumcision. Now, you just painted yourself in the corner, and you're going to have to get out on your own. You did it to yourselves. I'll let y'all go. You did it to yourselves. I said earlier, in the body of Christ, during this time frame, people born in this world, how many of them are uncircumcised based upon the body of the sins of the flesh? You said everybody. Then Paul must have been given the good news, gospel, pertaining to the uncircumcision, which is everybody. Because it's 14 years when he meets Peter, they shake hands. Then Paul says, we'll go to the heathen. I struggled with this for a long time because as a verse that troubles the way people were teaching verse 7. And it bothered me and bothered. I didn't have the answer, so I just let her lie. The verse that complicates this is in Romans. Turn back to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Anybody know where I'm going? Anybody? Told you the chapter. Verse. For I'm not ashamed. Verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, wait a minute. Paul went to the Jew first. Well, we know there were Jews that were saved, that were circumcised, right? Who's the biggest example we have in this picture? Paul. So Paul, who was circumcised according to Genesis 17, that circumcision was uncircumcised in the body of the sins of the flesh when he met the Lord. So when you go to Galatians and he says he has the gospel pertaining to the uncircumcision, well then, did he in Acts 9 immediately go to the uncircumcision, which people say are the Gentiles? Not according to 1:16, Romans 1:16, he didn't. Where did he go first? He went to the synagogue. Everybody in the synagogue, even if they were circumcised after the manner of Moses or after Abraham, were still uncircumcised in the body of the sins of the flesh. Therefore, Paul is the one that had the good news pertaining to of the uncircumcision, which is everybody, but he was sent to the Jew first. I'm telling you, they read that in verse 7 of Galatians 2 as, oh, we're agreed for me that I'd have the gospel of the uncircumcision, and it was the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter. And they go, immediately they say, well, that gospel was going out to the Gentiles. No, it wasn't. I mean, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 challenges that thought. Because when he was saved, he went to the Jew first. And that's evident. I've done studies exhaustively here and preach messages on Sunday exhaustively here proven that truth, that Paul went to the Jew first. Why? There was a remnant of Jews there that were in the synagogues that if they heard the gospel, they would believe and come out and be a part of the body of Christ. So Paul, like Elijah, was sent in to Jezebel and all that group to get a remnant out of there. Paul was sent there too. Well, that's not a good news to the uncircumcision, as people deem it is today. They say Galatians 2, gospel of the uncircumcision, where Paul went to the heathen. Ultimately, he was sent to the heathen. But at the beginning, there were Jews in the synagogue that were circumcised. So, I'm saying that in Galatians 2, 7, the gospel of the uncircumcision, that uncircumcision is this right here, your body. It's your body. It's not the heathens that he's going to. For crying out loud. You didn't need Paul to do that. Think about it. And this is the other side. And we can't go into this tonight. Paul, gospel of the uncircumcision, Jew first. Peter, gospel of the circumcision, goes to Cornelius. Boom. What in the world's going on there? Well, there's an answer. We don't have time to go into it. There's an answer. So then I know that the uncircumcision is pertaining to the body of people. The body of people. And that Paul understood that when he got saved, the spiritual baptism took place, hence the circumcision of the body of the sins, flesh, were put off of him. And you look up the word put off. Some people say, well, putting off means that if you're smoking, you quit smoking, you put it off. You're drinking, you quit drinking, you put it gambling, you whatever sin you want to bring up. You look up putting off, and it has to do with death. It has to do with death. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So then, everybody in this time frame is uncircumcised. And Paul's good news is that whether you were Jew or Greek, it didn't matter. So, if you had a Jew that was circumcised, and if you had an uncircumcised individual saved, what availeth did it make for any of them, whether they were circumcised or uncircumcised? It didn't amount to anything to either one but a new creature. Everybody in here is a new creature because we went through the process of dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, being risen with Christ, and in Christ, we're new creatures. So, what I'm saying once again is that the gospel of the uncircumcision is the good news pertaining to the entirety of the world, whether they were Jew or Gentile, and it wasn't until 14 years after he began his ministry that him, Peter, James, and John had this big meeting in Galatians chapter 2. And at the end of it, and when I see what you got, Paul, you go on forward to the heathen, we'll go back to the circumcision, and Paul's ministry, after that meeting, you see it turning towards another group of Gentiles. And that's ultimately where it went. And so, consequently, there was a turn there. Acts is all about time. Time. You can't just sit there and pinpoint everything, but you can see the turning of events. So, ultimately, Paul begins going out, and the Word starts going to these Gentiles. You can't take the good news of the uncircumcision and say, well, Paul was saved by that, if you're teaching that it's a gospel that goes out to the Gentiles. Because it doesn't work. Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision because everybody in the body of Christ is uncircumcised concerning their body. And the good news of that is everybody then that believes this good news about Christ dying for your sin, being buried, raised again, you're circumcised, but not with hands. Nobody saw this. Why? It was hidden. Nobody could conceive of it. I couldn't see it, ear couldn't hear it, couldn't enter the heart of man. Till it was revealed to Paul by the Spirit, and his Spirit, or the Spirit of God, then wrote it in the books of Paul, and now we can read about it. So, you deal with that however you want. But I've struggled with this because I'm like, gospel of the uncircumcision. And I'm thinking, well, he had a gospel at the beginning of the ministry. He has a gospel that went out to the Jew first. Well, how could that be the gospel of the uncircumcision? I couldn't connect it because these guys are circumcised that he's going to, right? I couldn't figure it until you look at Colossians and it just reveals everybody in this time frame is uncircumcised. And I'm like, well, that's the good news of the uncircumcision. So it was the good news of the uncircumcision. So Paul preached the good news to the uncircumcision, whether they were circumcised or not. Jew that was circumcised, Gentile that wasn't. They were all uncircumcised in the body of the sins of the flesh. So he had an open audience right there. Right there. So, well, what is gospel? What does that mean? Good news. Okay, Peter had good news of the circumcision, pertaining to the circumcision. Well, it didn't just pop up when he met Paul. It didn't pop up after the death of Christ. What was the good news to the circumcision? Jesus Christ is the Messiah to bring in the kingdom. You crucified him, but God has raised him up. That's the good news. Well, who does that go out to? To the Jews. What are they? They're circumcision, but it's after this. It's after this. You see? Exactly. That's physical. You see, Paul, uncircumcision, gospel of the uncircumcision, is a physical matter, but it concerns your body. Peter's circumcision, gospel, good news, pertains to Abraham and his seed being circumcised. That's who they were sent to. Jesus Christ was sent to them, crucified, buried, raised again. Peter preached that and said he's returning and will fulfill Jeremiah 31 in forgiving your iniquities and forgiving your sins. It was to the Jews. But doesn't, if you see Peter's gospel of the circumcision, then you got Cornelius coming in. It's a roadblock. That's why the guy over here to our east struggled with the whole thing of Cornelius and spent 20, 30 years of his life trying to prove Cornelius is in the body based on circumcision. Why? Because Peter had the gospel of the circumcision and Cornelius was not circumcised. So I got to work all this out. No, there's an answer there. We'll go into that next week. So, anyhow, okay.